Tonight's encouraging words will be from newly minted Dharma holder, the Reverend Dr. Bob Walden.
Minty fresh. I don't feel minty fresh. David threatened to extend the session by 5 days. I think it's happened. My knees think it's day 8. My back says it's about day 5. Oh, here we are, deep, deep in it. And it feels like this is the whole world. The whole world on this Zafu. The whole world in this temple. But when my thoughts stray beyond the present moment, and they have a couple of times since session, I'm remembering that there's something else happening in the world tonight. There's a presidential debate. And we know that it will be a wonderful dialogue filled with love. Well, delusions are inexhaustible. And of course, that's not my subject tonight. But my subject is something that Melissa mentioned yesterday about the mind of right and wrong. And of course, that's what the debate makes me think of. Many of us care deeply about how the election comes out, but the source of the greatest sorrow and amazement for me has been how this mind of right and wrong has been inflamed, has been excited on a grand scale, opening up wider and wider chasms of the mind's making, mostly of no consequence. This is what we are capable of. These minds of right and wrong, these minds that discriminate between up and down, good and bad, these minds are essential for our survival. We need to know the poisonous mushrooms from the good ones. We need to know the safe ways to drive our cars from the unsafe ones. But this mind can be so aroused and so inflamed and that's the shadow of this wonderful survival mechanism. And many of us come to this path as a refuge. Many of us have had the intimation that this is not the deepest truth. That there is, as the verse goes, there is a spring that does not belong to yin and yang. There is a vast interpenetrating whole that is absolute reality. And many of us come because we've had an intimation of that. And we long to know it more fully. And so we come here. And if you're like me, you plan on leaving the mind of right and wrong at the door when you enter the Zendo. That hasn't worked out so well. It visits me on the cushion. It visits me in the Kinhin line. It visits me lying awake in bed. This mind of discriminating, of liking this, of hating that. And of course, at Sesshin, it's always the case that we are introduced to the very things we don't want. And we want to push them away. We're introduced to the roommate who snores when our sleep is so fragile. We're introduced to the sanghamate who steps on our heels in the Kinhin line. We're introduced to the teacher who comes up and tells us we're going to give a Dharma talk when we least expect it. This is the Buddha appearing to us, freeing us from our attachments. All well and good. But what it arouses is that same mind of right and wrong, and no, not this, and yes, let me have that, please. And so we make divisions and we make walls between ourselves and the world. But the most painful walls that we encounter are the walls that we make within ourselves. We don't want the mind of right and wrong. We don't want the clinging and the aversion. And so we judge. We judge our practice. I am the worst meditator. And of course, that's an impossible statement to fact check, so you can believe it all you want. And the smallest things can inflame that divisive mind. Yesterday, during the afternoon tea, as the snacks came around on the tray, there was a brownie. And there were almonds. And I had this arising in me of this really wanting that brownie. And what I noticed as the tray went around was I was thinking, oh, who's going to take it? And I started actually to make up stories about who would take it and why. And I noticed that my heart started to beat faster. And my palms started to sweat a little bit. And then suddenly I stopped and I said, in a few hours, I am going to receive Dharma transmission. And all I can think about is who's going to take my breath. Welcome to the mind of a Dharma holder. How does this happen? How is it that the very thing we come to get away from is the very thing that we meet? And in fact, Sesshin is brilliantly designed to do just this. What could make us more raw and more sensitive than depriving us of sleep? Than having us sit in these impossible postures hour after hour until we ache? And then we create so many rules and regulations, so many ways to make a mistake in each moment. This is like a playground for the mind of right and wrong. Why is it then? Why is it that this becomes the avenue to awakening, that this is used for healing because it does heal? How is it that the very same inflaming of that mind of right and wrong and aversion and good and bad that can wreak such devastation in the world can be a force of such powerful nourishment and healing in this Zendo. And there I turn to David Brazier and his book, The Feeling Buddha, because he has a wonderful formulation of suffering and the place of suffering in our lives. He reminds us that suffering is never going to end, but that what we do right here on the cushion in this practice is to channel that suffering, to arouse the fire and then contain it. And that contained fire fuels our realization of this one great interpenetrating whole. We see the aversion. We see the clinging to brownies. And we sit with it. And we sit still. And we see the judging mind. And we sit with it over and over again. And we don't move. And we come back to it again and again. And the mind of right and wrong begins to lose its hold. And there are these moments of spaciousness where that spring that does not belong to yin and yang, that spring that flows through everything and is everything, we get a glimpse of that spring. Sometimes it's a big glimpse. Sometimes it's fire flashing forth from these boulders. And sometimes they're tiny glimpses. Sometimes the hard edges start to soften. The tightly clenched fist around a delusion relaxes just a little. And the power of right and wrong mind becomes a force for compassion, more compassion for ourselves, and more compassion for the world. That's what we find when we allow this practice to happen to us, when we give ourselves over to whatever it is. The Buddha told us thousands of years ago that the world is on fire. I don't think any of us need to be convinced of that fact. And what we do is sit in the midst of that fire and contain it and harness it and use it to wake up to the love and the compassion that is the foundation of everything. And we bring that gift with us wherever we go. So tonight, as we deal with these minds of right and wrong and messiness and aversion, these beautiful minds, this is exactly the work we want to do. This is exactly the mind that we have and therefore the mind that we want. And this work is the greatest gift that we have to offer to the world.